between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
So one more time.
I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord. Falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know that song is so true.
Yes.
I keep falling in love with him more every day.
Amen.
I talk to him more every day.
Amen.
You know, my relationship with him is stronger now than it's ever been before.
Right.
You know, I was thinking, like Brother Don said it one time, I was thinking, it seems like I just began.
Yeah.
It seems like it's
just started.
You know, and it just gets sweeter and sweeter. I came in, I says, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I want to say something.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to praise God.
Yes.
You know, he's been too good to me. You know, I just think on him and just look at the blessings in the natural.
Yeah.
Blessing after blessing after blessing. But more than that is this revelation. This thing, this foundation, this thing that holds you.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the world and I look at people and, you know, sometimes they say, why wouldn't they want this?
Right.
And if they don't want it, why don't they leave us alone?
Right.
Why don't they just let us enjoy?
Yeah.
You know, let us just praise God.
Right.
You know, and if we are crazy, leave us alone. We're not hurting anybody. We're kind of good people.
Yeah.
You know, I make a good neighbor. You know, in the store, I let you in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, at the gas station, if you want to jump in front of me, I say, I'm retired.
Right.
You know, have at it. You can be crazy.
Yeah.
I just love this truth.
Amen.
It's something else. And, you know, and I do appreciate our ministry.
Yes.
You know, I think all the time about, you know, you come in on Wednesday and you're tired, and I think, you know, that brother's going to get up there, and he's going to, he's had a hard day, and he's still going to get up there, get out of the way, and just praise God and feed me.
Right.
So I just, I thank God for everything.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord, yes.
God bless Brother John.
Amen.
Every word of it, I believe what he said.
Amen.
You know? And I'm thankful to be here. I've been missed a lot of church, but I've been out of town. Anytime you don't, now Sunday, my car was kind of hemmed in. That was the reason that in. Had to call Brother John, my brother.
Dwayne.
To come and get me Sunday night, but I made it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just want you to all know that every prayer that was prayed for my grandson,
yeah.
It's all, God just took over. That's all I can say. Is Satan going to try again? Probably. And more, and probably. And I'll look for it. I watch it every time I turn around, seeing Satan peeking in here, you know. And I'm so thankful for that boy. He is a good boy. And I see nothing but God in him. And I believe someday he'll be here. If not here, he'll make it.
That's right.
You know. And all my children's like that. You know, I love them all. And I as we all love our children, you know, you want the best for them, you know, and I just so thankful for my three boys that's left and my grandkids, you know, and I'm thankful for all of you. I really appreciate every one of you because I know without a shadow of doubt. Them prayers were answered right here. I know we've got somebody, if not all of us, can get a hold of God.
Amen.
You know, I really believe that, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, I just thankful and ask that you continue to bless my old grandson because I don't know what to do without him. The rest of them got other things to do, you know. So God's going to use him.
Yeah.
And he's going to use him to see that I'm took care of. And I really don't care, you know, I've had a blessed life, you know, and I'm going to continue to have that blessed life, even if I end up in nursing home somewhere, you know, that's fine. You know, I'm just waiting for that change.
Amen.
I'm at ease. I'm just at rest. And looking for the theophany. And I thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord. It's beautiful. Amen.
It's sing page 12, the only blue book. Wear a crown.
Amen.
Wear a crown.
We will wear
them. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Definitely are. Looking for that. Amen.
Amen.
Looking for that day. Amen. Wear a crown.
Amen.
Yes.
fight. If I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And when this battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Wear a crown. Wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. Wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. When the battle's over,
encouraging and uplifting this message.
Yes.
I've really enjoyed the last few sermons, you know.
Amen.
We have a positive message. You know?
Amen.
Negativity is for the world. Right. I cannot stand negativity. It gets on my nerves a little bit. You have too much to be thankful for,
that
you know.
That is so true.
And I have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I get it. The world, they don't have what I have.
No.
You know, I was thinking so much just letting God have it. And, you know, natural types of spiritual. And
that's right.
When I first got married, I didn't just let Jeremiah have it. You know, I struggled. I was like, headship is hard, you know.
They kind of learn.
And then I let go, and then I had it easy. And he didn't treat me like a doormat. He takes care of me.
Right,
he loves
right,
yeah. me. He gets me cars. He gets me beautiful homes. I go on vacations.
Yeah.
You know, I am beyond blessed.
Right.
And you know, it's just that's just a shadow of what God has done for me.
Right.
I was sitting there, and I was like, I want to testify, but I don't know what to say. And it hit me. Give it to God.
Yeah.
He'll
Amen.
Fill your mouth with words.
Right.
You know, I didn't have any of this planned to say. I just came
right.
up and wanted to say, if I have nothing else ever to say, every single service I can come here and say, I thank God for the word. I thank God
yes.
for the understanding, truth I have,
oh
the peace.
Goodness.
You know, my life is blessed.
Yes.
And I just
yes.
thank God so much.
Right.
More. And you know, as I think, you know, you let go, right?
Yes.
I'm just still clinging. I need to let it go.
Amen.
God has my life.
Amen.
You know, I was telling Riley the other day, we were talking about something. I was like, something about my life. I was like, this isn't my life.
Right.
My life is Christ's life.
Right.
And that means giving to other
That's
people.
Right.
You know, like
right.
my life is for everybody
right.
else. It's
right.
not for
right.
me.
Right.
You know, and when you do that,
you, do
you are beyond blessed.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I just wanted to say that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
True identification is when you can say amen. You know, I can say amen to what Sister Lee said, what Brother John said. You know, there's so much more to like just surrender, let God have it.
Amen.
You know, in that day, we'll all be able to say we'll be wearing a crown.
Right.
I thank God because I want to share a scripture. But again, you know, I thank God, too, for being here. I thank God for the word. I thank God for the fact
yes.
that this is a judgment-free zone. You know, one thing I've
right.
learned over the years is the more I give it to God, surrender, Brother Moore was talking about trusting God more. And that wasn't anything but so true.
Amen,
trusting,
amen.
Giving it to God, take your hands off. You know, I thank God for that. But I'll share a scripture today.
Amen.
And we're in Colossians. I am in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I shall share that with you now. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, mm-hmm. and to be thankful.
Yeah.
16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in mm-hmm. psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what I get here. I get to sing songs. I get to talk about Jesus because he's so good to me. I thank God because we have a positive testimony.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what, we can just rejoice in God.
Amen.
We can surrender, and there's fruit in that. You know, Brother Moore talked about, and the body and the ministry, talked about praying more, you know, and what do you want?
Makes
Brother Moore says, you know, just pray mm-hmm. and listen to God. Mm-hmm. And in that, you hear his voice.
Oh,
you
yes.
can hear him. He'll talk to you.
Oh, yes.
And you got to get quiet.
Right.
I have Amen. Learned some things. And the other thing I've learned, I'll share this with you as well, you know, when you're in the gym or you're running, you learn that in the beginning, you can't lift much.
No,
nope.
Right.
That the more you go,
yeah.
and they increase more over time.
Yeah.
And you
right,
say,
right.
wow, I can do this. And you hunt and grunt. Uh-huh. And then over time, as like the word,
Amen.
Natural types of spiritual.
Right,
you
right.
can lift more. You can take more. You learn more.
Amen.
And I just
right.
thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth.
Oh, come that's on, right. Sister Mel.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load.
Amen.
The more that I release my cares, the more you take control.
Song says so much.
Yeah.
And I'm
yes.
glad you had an opportunity to go before me because I was just a bundle of, I don't know, just so happy to be here.
Amen.
You know, I was out of town. I texted Brother Moore and said, I want to come home. And it was just like, I'm ready to pay $1,000 just to get to church on Sunday. He said, hold on. And I know I can listen on the tape, but it is so true. It is not the same. And I'm so thankful that God allowed me to come home and want to be here and be in the church. Today, the devil, he was trying to keep me out. My dog did something, hurt his leg, and couldn't get him in. They said 6 o'clock or 6:30, and I'm like, really, 6:30? Okay, all right. And then they called me back. God said 6 o'clock so I could get here.
Amen.
And this is where I want to be because this increases my faith. I believe this word, and it's all of the preaching. It's all of our testimonies. And I just wanted to add my testimony that I wanted to be here tonight.
Amen.
I dropped my dog at the pastor's house. Like, if you could sleep at home, you could sleep here. Because I wanted to be in the house.
Amen.
And I'm just thankful for this word. I have the faith. He brought me here. And I know he's going to take me through. I have nothing to do with that. And I'm just putting it all in his hands. Amen.
I am learning. I am learning that what they're saying is really true. We overcome by the word of your testimony. We are the final voice to the final age. And if we don't, I'm the closest thing to God you're going to get on this side. I'm not coming back here myself like that. He said, if you want to talk to God, this is all, I'm all you got. Jesus said, he said, either you believe I am he, or you just die in your sins. In other words, there's nothing else coming down the pipe. We're it. The final voice of the final age. I thank God for Melody. I thank God for Sue.
Yeah.
I thank God for Elise. I thank God for this man. All of y'all.
Yeah.
All of y'all.
Yeah.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I woke up this morning. Brother John said something that last week, or one other week, he said, be sensitive to God.
Yeah.
He's in there.
Yeah.
He's definitely there.
Yeah.
But what you got to get quiet.
Yeah.
I was laying in bed. My mind's going everywhere this morning. I listened, and lo and behold, there's a little small voice in the back of my head, and it was singing a little song. And it went something like this. Tis so sweet to trust in. But give me a key. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace, amen. I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, and you'll be with me till him tonight. I have things that I'm looking for God for.
Amen.
You know, how would you like it if every time I talk to you, I said, give me this, give me that, do this, do that. I'm talking about a relationship with somebody.
Right.
And said, sometimes I get down to him, I just want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to talk to you.
Amen.
I just want to have communion. Fellowship. Don't have to be talking about anything fancy. I just want, and you know what? He's right there. Oh, sweet fellowship, Brother John. Oh, it's just like he said, it's so sweet. And oh, Lord, for grace, just to trust him more. He never lies. He never says anything he doesn't mean. And he never says anything that doesn't come to pass.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him.
Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, my precious Savior, oh, for grace to trust him. Let's sing that again.
I'm going to sing one more, but I like the words of that song, Sister Clarice. It says, I prove him over and over. Yes, yes, yes. You know, that's what David even said when they told him to get the armor. Yeah. Hey, so put this on, put that on. He said, this is not proven. I haven't proved this. I haven't proved that this would work. I haven't proved. You about to put me in some danger. I want to go with something that I know will work. That I know is for sure. And that's why I love singing that song. Jesus, Jesus, I prove him over and over. He's proven that he's going to be there over and over. I'm just thrilled by that. I was thinking all these things, and I just thought, my goodness, we're such a blessed group of people. We're beyond blessed.
Amen. Yes, we are.
Beyond blessed. Amen. Let's just sing one more song. God has smiled on me. This is a song that I've proven. This song is proven. I've been able to sing this song my whole life. No matter what, God has always smiled on me. Key of G, page 191. Help me out so I can save my voice a little bit.
Yes, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
He is the source. One more time.
Yes, God has, oh, he's smiled on me. He has set me free. I know my God has smiled on me.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we come humbly into this precious house to worship with like-minded believers. Lord, bless the service, bless the hearing, the speaker. Help us to get out of the way as we open your word and just touch on it for just a little bit, just a little small space and time as we look forward to eternity. Lord, bless the prayer requests. Bless Sister Don. Bless Brother John. Bless Sister Donna. Bless Sister Joyce. Bless Sister Anna. Bless Brother Jim. Bless his daughters. Lord, bless those that have spoken requests and unspoken requests, Lord. We are looking forward to seeing Brother Teber here. Lord, just bless this service. Let it be edifying for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Couple announcements real fast. We got the church is going to be putting on the young people are putting on a Christmas thing for us this Sunday at 7, and they got practice Saturday. They got their dress rehearsal on Saturday at 2:30. So we got that going on, so look forward to that. Also, we got New Year's service. We're going to be starting the food at 6, and then the service will start right after we eat, typically a little bit before 8, but they got it marked down for 8 for the live stream and stuff like that. So looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to whatever God's going to do. You know, I appreciate this place. It was just really touched by the testimonies. They touched me because, you know, I've been here for a while, right? And I can physically see with my own eyes with the progress. You know, it's almost like, if you don't see family for a long time, you go, my goodness, you got taller. My goodness, you're growing. It's evident. You can see it. You know, I told a story about how, you know, Sister Spears asked Jonathan one time how old he was, and he said, you know, he was 6 or something. And she says, well, I thought you were 4. And he was like, I was, but then I was 5, and then I was 6. You know, so he was kind of explaining the progress to her, you know, to her. But she saw him every Sunday, so she didn't get to see that growth. But it's almost like week to week, it's a year. You know, I see you growing, you know, and you guys know I'm saying this in love, but I you think about even like a Brother John, you know, testifying. You know, I mean, Brother John's always helped the church, been the backbone, been there, did this, did that. I mean, the list goes on. But, you know, it wasn't his makeup to be out in front of people to testify or something like that, you know, but he's the elder here. He's just leading the way. You know what I mean? He'll sing. He's singing. He's not even skipping a step. Like we got a need. Then gonna get it done. And just like my goodness, you see that? And you see like even Sister Elise, you know, testifying, helping out these young sisters, helping out. You know, if you're young in your marriage, you're looking at that and go, that's progress. That's growth. That's what that looks like. That's what growth looks like. That's what being steadfast. That's what trusting God looks like. You know, that's an example. That's something that you can look to as a tie post to go, I can see where God is at. I can see what it looks like when he moves. I can see him moving. Amen. You know, it's like that story of that kite when that kid, I love saying that. Because he said, you can't see the kite. Where's it at? He goes, but I can feel it pulling me. I know it's real. That's why I come in here. I see you growing. And I just know it's real. You know, you can't tell me Mel ain't growing. I see it. I know it's real. You can't tell me you're not hearing the word. I see it. I know it's real. Because it's doing to you what it's doing to me. That's how I know it's real. That's how I know it's real, because I know what I got is real. I know what I got God said to me. I'm not on the backside of the mountain hoping that he's talking to me. He's talking to me lip to ear. You know, we talk about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. We talk about those different things. There was a group of people that had to hear a message from God. But there was a group of people that heard directly from God. Now, there's two different things. I'm not reading the mail of what God said. God is sitting here face to face saying, can I hide anything? I'm not limited to just what's on the page. He said, can I hide anything from you? Ask what you will. Say what you want. If you want this, I'll do it. If you want that, I'll do it. That's the kind of God I serve. There's people that don't even know where the church ages began or start. They don't know that there is church ages. There's people that don't know where God is, don't know what he sounds like. But I can come here tonight and hear from God. That's progress. Oh, my. You know, see, the church world will have you leaning on all this and leaning on that. And Pastor Moore, beautiful message, lean not to thy own understanding. Then you can't study this up. Come on. You, the Bible's been here for 2,000 years and you still didn't know where God is. So don't tell me you can read it. The message book's been here since 65. You had access to all of them. You had access to the Bible. You had access to tapes. You had access to the books. You had access to all of them. But until somebody comes and preaches you the word, it cannot even be revealed to you. Oh, my. And Pastor Moore, you even said it. You even just tied it in there. I thought, my goodness, people get caught up on even when their birth was, when this was, when that was. That's just pride. It has nothing to do with the Word of God. You can't even tie it back into the Word of God. He said, I wasn't saved on any day. Why don't you put that in there? But you go, because they want to hold on to this and hold on to that. But they want to make it an experience. They want to make it some light, some enlightenment. No, it's just a revelation. I woke up to who I always was. Yeah, I didn't wake up to a different person. I got woken up to who I always was. Yeah, that's who I read. That's the real me woke up. Yeah, see, because I don't even want to put it on two different people. Because see, if you put it on two different people, that means you can slip back into something. That means I could change something. No. When I woke up to this revelation, it tied me into the body where I always belong. It just woke me up. Oh, my. I just love this thing. You know, my title, my message is going to be Learning to Lean. Because Pastor Moore said, lean not to thy understanding. And we've been learning this every service. Amen. We've been learning this every service. And one of the things, you know, Pastor Moore, you referenced the scripture, and I'll read that scripture because you referenced it at the beginning of the service. And I just love the balance that you put on there. You were talking about how you got to have a home church. And I just love the balance of that because, you know, these messages do go out. You know, Brother Jim, you've done the tape ministry. Skylar and myself, we've done different things. Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah, they've done different things and sending this out. And everybody in the church has had a hand in making sure this goes out. Sister Sue's done some things. Everybody, right? But so that means it goes out. So there's going to be an opportunity for people to maybe think that we're exalted or we got this or we got that, that you got to have this. You got to listen to what Fairborn. But Pastor said Sunday, you got to have a home church. You know, if you live in California, this is not your home church. This is not your home church. We're your brothers and sisters. We're fellowshipping together. You're a believer. I'm not saying that, but this is not your home church. If you live in Louisiana, this is not your home church. God said it so clearly. He said, forsake not to gather yourselves together. So let's just read that scripture, and then I'll get started and go into my actual message. But I wanted to make sure we read that scripture that you said, Pastor, because it says over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking to assemble of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. So if you see that day approaching, you should be getting together that much more. You know, just, even if you got to get in the house together, whatever, get together. Forsake not to gather yourself together, because what happens when you get apart, that's solitary confinement. That's really what it is. You know, you think about, you can think about the worst prison in the world, the worst crime you could commit. Those people would love to just be in general population. Brother Jim, you worked in the gym, the jails, you've seen that. Brother Mike's been there. The worst punishment you can give somebody is sit them by themselves. That's the worst form of punishment. It's not torture, it's not pain, it's to sit them by themselves. Why would you want to spiritually drain yourself and get off to alone? That's going to leave the mind. You're just devil's playground. That's not a body that way. That goes contrary to what even a body is. A body is an assembly of cells that work together jointly so they can fit together. That's this body. This body works together in harmony. So I looked at that and I thought, my goodness, I appreciate the balance on it. That's not my message, but I just wanted to make sure I backed that up with the scripture there, because Pastor Moore was referencing it. It's just so beautiful. But I thought, my goodness, you know, so often you can get lost in this thing. You can get lost in your own thoughts, lost in that. And I thought, man, you know, I remember when I was in the Army, fast story here, but I kind of want to get to this. But I just remember in the Army, to get promoted, you had to do land navigation course. And Pastor Moore, you had to do it when you were going to be an officer training. And they basically stick you in a field, and you got to plot your way to these points, and you got so much time to get to them. If you can't figure it out, you don't pass that class. And I'm terrible with directions. I don't sugarcoat it at all. But I got that promotion. I had to figure it out. But they give you a map. And that map, it's got all these different things on there. You got terrain, you got water, blah, 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 all those things. I'm not going to bore you guys with the details of that. But there's a couple things that are key on the map. First, you got a key that's going to tell you what this is. On the map, this is what a tree is. On the map, this is what the water is. On the map, this is what, because you're in the middle of a field. Y'all been to parks, so you're just in the middle of a field. You got to find your way. They just drop you off. But one of the most important detail that you have to realize is your where you are. That's the key to everything. I may not figure out what the water is, but I got to know my starting point. So that way, Ed, no matter what happens, no matter how I get turned around, twisted, turvy, I go back to that starting point, and then you're able to do whatever you need to do. That's your starting point. That's how it is when you get one revelation. That's your starting point. Everything you get, everything you do has to go back to that starting point. I don't care whether you get educated. I don't care whether you get sanctified, testified, all these things. Whatever you get, it better always run back to that same starting point. Because anything else, you're going to go out on limbs that are not proven. You're going to go out on things that you can't back up. And we say terms like back your mail from where you're at. Why do we say that term? That's your starting point. Where you live is your starting point. You are right here. And you know, the reason why I say that is because I remember when we had a church split and I was a young boy. Didn't know anything. Didn't know what direction I should be shooting. Didn't know what direction I should be defending. I didn't have any clue on what anything. So when God gave the warning out saying this is what's going to happen, I had no clue how to take care of myself. I had no clue what to do. I wasn't wise enough. I hadn't been in there enough. I hadn't progressed enough. I hadn't paid attention enough to know what I needed to do to help defend myself. But Pastor Moore issued a warning on Sunday. He said, guess what? We're moving, bride. And whenever that happens, Satan is going to pop his head up. So let's be on the lookout. Now I'm an old man now. Now I'm looking, I say, I'm not going to let that warning go past now. Now I'm going to make sure every chance I get, I tie my stake and leave it right where I started. I say, this ministry has done nothing but bless my life. The Word of God is always right. The Word of God has always seen me through. This ministry has always protected, always guided, and always gave me, thus saith the Lord. You know what I'm doing? I'm scotching some tires. So that way, if I get lost, if something does confuse me, I'm coming back to this point. I'm coming back to this spot where I say, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. I'm coming back to this point right here to say, this is right. Now, guess what happens now? Amen. Satan won't try to tickle my ear. Because you know what? There's a group of people during the church split that Satan didn't even go talk to. Why? They had already scotched their tires so much they said, it's pointless. Don't even talk to them. They'll leave them alone. They can't even bother them. Don't even tell them about it because they'll rebuke you. That's why I'm making sure I put my stand. I have no clue what's upcoming. I don't see around corners. Brother Adam preached that message one time. He said, God sees around corners. I don't see around corners. But when he says shoot, I'm going to just start shooting. When he says watch, I'm going to just start watching. And I'm not even saying as a scare tactic. I'm just letting you know that I have no clue what's upcoming, but I'm just making sure. I'm making my calling and election sure. I'm saying that's for me and my house. What I've learned. I don't want to have to go back and say, oh, I didn't have that right. Not when I had a chance to be right. I'm learning more and more from Brother Jeremiah. Brother Jeremiah don't do things twice wrong. No, he doesn't. Not twice. He may do it wrong once, but he is going to, man, he'll protect that. He learns quick. I got to touch the stove and get a whooping. I don't learn as fast as he does. But he'll just look and see the temperature's hot and go, don't touch it. I got to touch it, get a whooping, and then told not to do it. But I'm learning. I'm getting quicker with it. Because it's important to be right. It's important to be right. Because you know what? The mistakes of Sarah was a mistake. Sarah telling Abraham to sleep with Hagar was a mistake. Sarah basically, in my mind, and you guys can correct me on the terms and stuff, but in my mind, Sarah was basically a foolish virgin. She was just foolish. Just foolish because she doubted God every time. She doubted when she heard the angel say it. She doubted when her body started changing. She doubted when this, she doubted when that. She just kept doubting. Abraham was the one that pleased God. Abraham was the one that had faith. Now, Abraham made mistakes, but Abraham never doubted the promises of God. He just got stronger in his belief. Matter of fact, and I love how that story in the Bible, it shows, and people miss that subtle nuance, is that Abraham and Sarah, their bodies were physically changed. And the church world skips over it. They don't see it. But they don't read over there where Abimelech said, who is this beautiful woman that has come into my kingdom? She is the most beautiful person I've ever seen. He said, a matter of fact, this way, I mean, I'm not even inferring. This is basic. This is what he said. He looked at her and said, whoever gets in my way of getting her, I'll kill him. So much so that Abraham was like, that's my sister. And he was like, I thought y'all came together. No, we're family. That's my sister. When I saw y'all walking really close together, that's my sister. He said that. So much so that Abimelech was going to marry her. God sold up the wombs of all the women in the area so that way they wouldn't mess up his promise. No matter what Abimelech thought, no matter what was going on, if Sarah had to even, he wasn't going to let anything happen. God tortured that man in his dreams. He said, Abimelech, you took another man's wife. He's like, no, I didn't. He said, you're a dead man. He said, whoa, no, I didn't. I didn't do it. I did exactly what you told me. I picked somebody. This is his sister. He said, no, you're a dead man. You touch her, you're dead. You're dead. Your family's dead. Everything you ever thought of is dead. Woke up and said, my goodness, Abraham, get in here. What's happening? Why'd you lie to me? What'd you do? Matter, let's bless you, Abraham. Take this, take that, get out of here. Now I say that, that's a Bible story, but why would common sense, would a king do all that for some old lady? Some barren old lady. When he has access to the kingdom, everybody there, her body was changed. Not only was her body changed, Abraham's body was changed when he said, that's my sister. He said, oh, it makes you guys look close in age. Oh, my. See, when I see those kind of promises, that's the promise that I'm holding on for my body to get changed. Sister Lee said it's like a shadow type. That's just a shadow, a type of how my body's going to change. I'm going to put on a body that'll never die. Oh, my. God has been too good to this bride. To have that as an understanding, that's a Bible story to us. Right. The body change is a Bible story to us. To the rest of the world, they don't even know it's going to happen. They don't believe it's going to happen. They don't have been looking for the rapture. They're preparing for tribulation. I know the tribulation can't happen until I get out of here. That's furthering my understanding. Oh, my. See, we know too much. We're spoiled. We are. We're just spoiled. Because I think about everything. I mean, the freedom that you get in this church. We had a sister read a scripture. In front of the church. Unannounced. She owns a Bible. She was holding the Bible. Stopped the service. I don't remember. I don't see it on the program. And we sat there and we were blessed by it. Thank you, Sister Belinda. We were blessed by it. Another sister gets up, blesses us. The brother sings a song, just blesses us. That's freedom to serve God how you want. Now, Pastor Moore, you mentioned it the one time before. You said, you know, we don't have a program where it goes this time to this time to this time to this time. And I thought, man, that's institutionalized. It really is. Brother Jim, tell them, you go to jail, they tell you when the lights come on. They tell you when the meal's going to be served. They tell you when you're going to bed. They tell you what songs are going to be played. They tell you what's going to be on the TV. They tell you what you're going to wear. That sounds like jail. That sounds like you have a warden instead of a pastor. That sounds like you got somebody telling you what to do that you can't govern yourself. That sounds like you're not an adult, that you're a child. That's what that sounds like. But when you're not a child, you should have the freedom to act like an adult. You should have the responsibility that you came here with the same goal I came here with. That you came to praise the Lord and I came to praise the Lord. You got God just like I got God. You're expecting God to talk because he's been talking to you all day. Oh, my. That's progress, saints. This thing, you didn't get into this day one. This is a progress. This is a progressive ministry. Oh, I've been learning to lean on the Lord every day. Oh, my, I can't even, I'm looking through here, and I'm going to read a scripture just for throw it in there, but that scripture came to me for 1 Corinthians 13 through chapter 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I even understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know Oh, in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. It said even there, it said I knew in part, but now there's going to become a time where I'm going to know even as I am known. Yeah. Meaning I'll know it just like I know myself.
Right.
And now abide in faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I look at that and I go, there was a time that I understood as a child.
Right.
There was a time that the importance that I put on church was like a child. My thoughts were like a child. Children are selfish.
Yeah.
They don't think about others. Eternal life is what you do for others.
Amen.
Eternal life is you getting out of the way and helping somebody else.
Right, right.
That's it's okay to be a child. That's all right when you're supposed to be a child.
Right.
But I don't want some big babies.
Right.
You know you can't stay a child.
Right.
That's something wrong with your growth.
Right.
If Isaiah looked 4 years, if Isaiah thought like a four-year-old, that'd be a problem.
Amen.
That would be something wrong with him.
Yeah.
If he kept talking like a teenager, I'd say something's wrong with you, bub.
Mom.
You haven't grown up. You should be grown now. Your thoughts should be grown.
Yeah.
Your foresight should be grown. You shouldn't be selfish like a child. There should be some thinking about others.
Yeah.
There should be a sense of obligation
right.
to something that's bigger than you.
Amen.
Oh, as a man, I don't always want to go to work.
No.
Come on now. Who are you fooling? Yeah, the best job in the world. I don't want to go there all the time. But I want to provide for my family all the time.
Yeah.
There's not a time that I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I always want to take care of them.
Amen.
That's a man. I got a sense of obligation. I got somebody that's leaning on me, so I'm leaning on God. Say, Lord, give me the strength. Give me this. If I'm tired, make me more awake. If I'm procrastinating, make me move quicker. If I'm late, make me be early. That's what that's my desire. That's how I lean on God. I say, Lord, if I'm lacking, give me what I need so I can get the job done. That's why we come to church. Lord, give me what I need so I can get the job done. Give me what I need so I can get the job done. There's a group of people that are leaning on me. They, without us, cannot be made perfect. There's a group of believers that are depending on us to get the job done. Oh, I don't shuck my responsibilities now. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm mature. God's been moving too much in this thing. I just look at it and I go, my. I mean, I'm just looking at my own life. Because people always want to, they want things to be broken down plain. They even said that to Jesus. Won't you say it in plain talk. Just plain, just speak plain. You keep saying it in parables to everybody. And he's like, it's not even for them to understand. They're like, Jesus, when you're with us, you just talk plain. So tonight, I'm just going to talk plain. I'm not talking to unbelievers. I'm not talking to make-believers. I'm just talking about plain talk.
Amen.
Easily understood.
Amen.
Brother Jay, how do you learn to lean on God? You're going to learn about the things you suffer.
Amen.
You're going to learn patience and obedience by the things that you suffer. When you want to go another way, and God tells you the way to go, and you go that way, that's how you're learning.
Amen.
So it starts with one step. It might be honor thy father and mother.
Right.
One step.
Right.
The more you do it, the more you're blessed. The more God's taking care of you, the more you hear that voice, and then you're learning. You're learning. You go, I didn't listen to mom and dad, and it messed up. I did listen to mom and dad, and it went good. And the more you do that, you just keep moving forward. You just progress. You become a kid. You become a teenager, a mid-age, a young adult. You go through things. God says, hey, I recommend you take that job over there at this place. Well, I was thinking this other job. Might be a little better. They're paying a little bit more. No, this job, this schedule is better for you. So it's going to give you Wednesdays and Sundays. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll take that job. It's probably a dollar less. As a child, Pastor Moore, I remember that story. He talked about Michael thought he had a lot of money. As a child, you think a dollar's a lot. Oh, they're paying $16 over there. This one's paying $15. That ain't life-changing money, no matter how you slice it. It's a dollar. It's a dollar. It's $1. You're talking $365 total to miss church. That's not a lot of money. That's not a lot of money. It's just a dollar. But you lean on God, and he said, okay, Lord. And then you go there, and it's blessed. You're like water everywhere you go. You're just a blessing, because God's been dealing with you. You go through things, you get blessed. Maybe you get married. You go. Now let's go to some tough stuff, because that was easy. That's cake and ice cream. Everybody was, yeah. You get married. And y'all get to that point where it's like, man, I done had it up to here. I'm going my separate way. Now, you've been trusting God for a little bit of things, and you go, well, I know I got to trust God, so I got to let him know. Well, at least let him know. I got a sense of obligation. I'm calling off work. I'm not going to be there. That's basically what you're saying when you're saying those kind of things. I'm going to tell Pastor Moore we're going to go our own way. We're just going to let him know, give him a heads up. The word says, are you a believer? Well, yeah, I'm a believer. Of course. Yeah, I'm a believer. But I want to tell you what they did. No. Are you a believer? Yes. Okay. Well, stop talking. Oh. But you didn't hear what they said or what they did. Yeah, you're a believer. I'll get to that later. Next person, are you a believer? Yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah, I'm a believer. I believe the word. I always say amen to the word. The word says. The word says. Let the unbeliever depart. Oh, whoa. But I'm a believer. But you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. They hurt my feelings. Let the unbeliever depart. Well, I'm the believer, so I know I'm in. Your spouse says, but I'm a believer, so I know I'm in. But then guess what happens then? Then as believers, you can identify what the real problem was. That was Satan trying to infiltrate the home. And you can start separating that and go, as believers, we got to get him out of here. Satan's trying to break us up. And now you go back to all that other thing, understanding those things that have been proven, and you go, God did say that we were going to be a good couple. God's word has always been right. So this time we're going to take those same stones that took care of the lion and the bear and get Satan out of our house. That's how this thing works. And that's progress. And that's when you're looking at it going, and then now you got a fruitful, peaceful marriage. And you go, man, remember when Satan tried to battle us? And we got over that. Amen. The next thing that comes up, maybe it's a kid getting going through teenage years. You're going to say, that same Satan trying to come back, I got the same rock for him. I got the same word of God that got him out of here the last time. I'm going to put it on him this time. And then you just keep building and building and building. So then when God says, hey, keep your heads up, I'm holding that same rock that got Satan out of my mind. I'm holding that same rock that got Satan out of my house. I'm holding that same rock that got Satan out of my kids to say, if you pop your head up, Satan, I'm going to have to hit you with this one. That's progress. That's how this thing works. I've learned it. Oh, my. See, that's real. I'm being real with you. That's how this thing works. Because if you know where God is, it is easy to follow him. It's easy for a believer to just drop your own thoughts. Oh, I get that you're going to have emotions. I get that you're going to go through feelings. I get that you're going to have somebody's going to hurt your feelings with words or actions or money or whatever. But a believer will turn quickly to the word. That's the word test. When God puts that word out there, you got to turn quickly to the word. And you can't see flesh.
That's right.
I'm sorry. You can't. Because some people saw flesh and they saw Brother Childers. And Brother Childers was a God in flesh to them. And I'm saying it in a different way than how I believe it. Yeah, thank you. They saw Brother Childers, the man. And whatever he did, that was Bible. How he held his Bible, how he talked, how he held the microphone, what he had to say, how he thought. They even tried to replicate how he worked. I ain't seen nobody do that yet. They tried it, though. They would try it. You know what they would say? Let me show you what they would say. Anytime they were doing something, they'd be like, oh, you know I'm working. Every day? That's how they would try to mimic Brother Childers, because Brother Childers was a worker. If Brother Childers wasn't at church, he really was working. But people say that all the time, like, I'm working. I'm like, you ain't working all the time. You work a bad job, then. If you're poor and working all the time, fix it. Amen. Get yourself some freedom. I'm just telling you, that's common sense. If God tells you to get a trade, that'll help you get more money, get a degree, get some more money, so you got some time so you can help and worship with the body, so you can serve God. That's the whole reason. Our job is not our job. This is our real job. This is what I make my time for. This is what I want to put my efforts for. Even Brother Branham, he said, if I'm going to do anything for God, I better do it now. That's even Brother Branham. So if you're going to do anything for God, you might as well do it now. If you got an opportunity to get time for God, do it now. That's why even they say serve God in your youth. See, I'm still sticking to the Bible. They say serve God in your youth. Why? So you can actually do something. You can move a little bit while you're still flexible, while you still got things going on where you can move quickly. I get that somebody gets retired, but I don't want a retired person doing all the stuff that I can do.
Right.
I don't. That's embarrassing to me.
Right.
I should be able to pick up more bales of hay than somebody that's retired.
Right.
Just common sense. That means I should be able to get the job done a little bit quicker. Right. I should be able to move a little bit. That's why do you think he's putting our bodies back in our youth?
Amen.
Come on now.
Come on.
There's a reason for it. He don't want a bunch of old people. He don't want somebody hobbling around. He wants somebody that can get with it, that can travel like a thought. That's what he wants. And I'm just looking at this and I go, my goodness. We just, all these things run together. And it's like, there's no reason with all the learning, all the teaching, all the progress that's going on for any of us to let Satan try to get a blow on us. We got too much understanding now. We got too much been revealed to us now. We had a prophet and nobody even knows it.
Amen.
They claim that they see the prophet, but they don't believe that that was a prophet. If you believed it was a prophet, you wouldn't doubt anything he said.
Amen.
You would hold on to the books. You would hold on to the tapes. You would reverence that man. And when he said, find somebody that's going to break it down, you would have done it.
Amen.
But instead, you pick and choose the quotes that you want to listen to. You pick and choose the messages that you want to listen to. And you skip right over the fact that he said, you brothers, you take it and break it down.
Amen.
They don't want that. They don't want that kind of progress. They want to just stay with the tapes, start and press play. Why? Because you don't get no rebukes on those tapes. None of those things are even applicable to you. You don't get no rebukes on those tapes. I listen to them. I listen to them all the time. I enjoy them. Brother Lockett recommended one for me. I listened to that a couple of times. Pastor Morris recommended some. Brother Jeremiah, I'm listening. I'm energized by it. I'm like, man, that man was revelated. That man was godly. He had, even in his prayers were godly. The prayer line, how he got things set up, his thoughts, the titles. You can just read through the titles and get a revelation, so to speak. I'm just looking at that, and my goodness, and I enjoy it. But you can't stop it, Brother Branham. You can't stop it, Brother Branham. It's got to continue on. God never stops and denominates. He never builds walls. Man does that. God stays free in this thing, and it just goes from service to service, and he keeps moving. Your life should keep moving. There's no reason that you should have the same problems from yesterday to today. Should not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and yesterday, today, and forever. But now your problems, they should be going away. You should be getting stronger in this thing. As you talk about these messages that we're getting, so energizing, so motivating, so positive. This is stimulation by revelation is what's happening. You're getting revelated and you're realizing that you should be even more enthused about the Word of God than you were when you got here. Why? Because you know what's going on. My saints, we're learning to lean in this thing. We are learning to lean. See, I believe that my God's bigger than all my problems. I don't have anything that God can't fix. I don't have nothing that God can't fix. See, the church world, they have things that God can't fix. They got a mental problem that God can't fix. They got a sexuality problem that God can't fix. They got a racial issue problem that God can't fix. They got so many stipulations that I don't even know what God can do for them. He can't. If he can't fix the problems, what is he doing then? I come here because I need him. I need you, Lord. I need thee every hour. Every hour of every day. I need him more and more. These people, they don't even want God. Matter of fact, that's the nature of the age. That's the Laodicean age. They think they're rich and increased with goods, and they're blind, naked, and miserable and don't even know it. Oh, my. Pastor Moore, you said it best when you said the law was to show that you needed Jesus. It was to show that you needed him. So I acknowledge the law, but I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for that he did it. I thank God that he paid the cost. I recognize what I saw. I saw a little bit of what the bill was and thought, my goodness, I can't pay it. I can't pay it. I can't do it. There's none of us are good but God. And I praise God that somebody paid the bill. And I'm rejoicing in that. I'll never get over rejoicing in that. But just dying on Calvary wasn't enough. Oh, my. This thing has got to progress. He didn't just die on the cross for just himself. He died so that I could be saved, so that we could be redeemed, so that we can join together in fellowship for eternity.
Amen.
I'm not going to just stop at the cross. I'm not going to just stop here. I'm not even stopping just at the marriage supper. I want to continue on into this thing.
Amen.
See, the church world will have you stopping here, stopping there. Just keep going.
Amen.
Keep going. Don't stop. Just keep moving in this thing. There's that one quote that they talked about. You know, if you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, just do whatever you can, but just don't stop moving. That's how it's got to be. You know, you come in here and you see somebody enthused about this thing. See Sister Elise just running for Jesus and she ain't tired yet. And you walking, don't stop. Keep going. You go in here and you see me walking and you just can crawl. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't, whatever you do, don't stop moving. Make sure you make this place a priority over top of any of your emotions, over top of any of your feelings, over top of any of your situations. You get in here and let God remind you of who you really are. That's how you get strengthened in Christ Jesus, is that you get this word in you. That's what gives you the strength. It says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How are you going to get the joy of the Lord if you never hear from Him? Oh, I even loved how Sister Clarice even said it. She said in the relationship, if all the time you were like, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, give me this, you get tired of it. That ain't no relationship. That's a store. I walk in there, it's a transaction. Give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. I'm not tied to that at all. I just want what I want. No thought at all for the other person. That's not a relationship. I love Christ. It's just in me to love Him. He loves me. I love Him. I can't do it. It's nothing He could ask that's too much. And on the inverse of that, it's nothing that I ask that He says is too much. This is just a love affair. I enjoy church. I enjoy church. I don't want anybody to think any other way. I love coming to the house of God. Oh, this is the best time I get. This is the only time in my life that I'm sitting with like-minded believers where I can yell out, I really love the Lord. And nobody thinks it's strange. They rejoice with me. That strengthens me. That encourages me. I don't want to have to always pray in silence. I don't want to have to only pray over my food and hope nobody's looking over so I don't embarrass them. I don't want to try to look like I'm not making a scene, but I'm just enjoying myself. I love this thing. Amen. Oh, my. It's easy serving God. Amen. You know, we did some vacationing before, me and my brothers. My brothers Jeremiah and brother Dwayne. We went to a beach, and one of the cheapest things you can do, cheapest things, is just sit on the beach. You don't got to buy nothing. You ain't got to do nothing. You just sit there. Sit there, listen to the waves if you want. You want to walk endless direction that way, you can do it. You want to turn around and walk this way, you can do it. It's free. It's enjoyable. You can sit there all day. Sit there for hours. No problem. But let a fish flip out of the water and land up on the shore. Y'all heard that expression, fish out of water? He's in the wrong atmosphere. He's not relaxing. He's not enjoying himself. He can't sit there for hours. He can't enjoy this. He ain't looking around saying, this is so peaceful. He's not saying, this is the best place to be. He's not looking at the waves crash up and just say, keep going on your way. He is a fish out of water, meaning he can't survive in that type of atmosphere. It's too hot for him. He can't breathe in there. But that's how it is when an unbeliever gets around believers. They can't handle it. I'm saying, doesn't it feel good? Don't you love the sun? Don't you love how hot they preach it? Don't you love how we get the word every time and they're going, I can't take it. I can't breathe here. Oh, this is so oppressive. This is so hard. And I'm saying, this is the easiest I've ever had it. This is the best it's ever been. This is so free. This is so enjoyable. I just love every minute of it. That's just the differences. For one person, they can handle it. The other person, I don't care how nice we make it. I don't care if we put cushions on the seats. I don't care if we took names out of the services and we didn't look at anybody. We just looked here so you didn't think I was looking at you. And then we didn't reference anybody's life or anybody's story. It would still be a rebuke every time the Word of God crossed their path. And for you as a believer, you're just sitting there saying, I love it. I want it. I can't help it. I appreciate you, Lord. See, it's just a difference. And that's progress. That's progress. That's progress. God just getting us. We're learning more and more and more. You know, they do that game where you lean back on somebody. When you really believe it, you don't even look. Just a trust fall. That's how I do every service. I come in here and say, Lord, you know I need you. You know I need this. You know I need that. I just fall back into His arm. Let Him handle it. I feel weightless. I don't even feel all the weight. See, when you're walking, you feel the weight. You feel the weight on your feet, your knees, your arms, everything. When you just lean back, when you start leaning, it's a transference of weight. I'm transferring the load. I'm sending it over to Him. I'm letting Jesus take care of it. Yeah, turn it over to the Lord. He'll work it out. I'm a reference to scripture. It's in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, it is. It's light in here. It's not heavy to me. I come in here. This is the highlight. This is the only time in my life that I can be free.
Amen.
Truly free to say, Lord, you've been so good to me.
Amen.
Oh, the world will want to explain away blessings. They'll want to explain away healings. They'll say the scan didn't see it. This didn't happen there. And the whole time I'm saying, Lord, you've been blessing. Lord, you've been moving. I know you had to take care of this. I know you had to take care of that. I'm able to rejoice. But in there, I got to just sit still and say, well, maybe. I don't know. Just like you don't know, maybe. I don't know. But I can get out of there and just turn. Cut a rug and say, Lord, thank you for healing me. Thank you for blessing me. You can't do that in the doctor's office. You got to be wise and have common sense. They don't get it. Like Brother Josh used to say, he said, I'm going to get up in your nose hairs. I want God in my nose hairs. I want him that real. I want him right in my face. I don't want to misinterpret. You know what? Because I don't want to leave any room for a misinterpretation. I don't want to be thinking, is that God? Is it not God? Is it God? Is it not God? No, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is God.
Amen.
It said it's even deity on your lips. So when that ministry's talking, I'm not trying to pick and choose. Like, maybe that's for me. Maybe it's for you. Maybe that's for me. Maybe that's for you. It's all for me. The whole service is for me. He's preaching just to me. He's talking just to me. Every scripture, every verse, every song, every testimony was just for me.
Amen.
That keeps Satan out of it. That keeps him out of it totally. He's like, well, what if they told you were short? Well, then I am. If God says I am, then I am. If God says I got to do better, then I do. Here we go. If God says I'm a blessing, then I am. Yep. But if he tells me I need to step up, then I do. I don't want to leave room for Satan at all. God said it. It's still true. He's always right. God is always. Did God? You don't even got to tell me what he said. Did God say it? Yeah. Well, then it's true. Did God say it? Then it's true. Did God say it? I don't even have to get into the gossip. Did God say it? Then it's true. If God said it, then it's true. See, because I'm coming here. And I'm preaching my heart to you without controversy. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to fight you. I'm not here to debate you. I know that what I have is real. And I know that what I have works. If you don't know it, you don't even know how good I got it. You don't even know how blessed I am. You don't even know how what peace looks like. You don't even know what being able to rest looks like. You don't even know. You don't even know that feeling. So you hold on to your anxiety. You hold on to your doubts. You hold on to your unbelief. But as for me and my house,
yes,
I'm going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's how I go through this thing. Why? Because I've learned it. Oh, he sent tutors and governors to me when I was just a child and taught me this and taught me that until he could turn it over to kingdom. But now I got the keys now. I got the keys now. So before I couldn't make decisions, before I couldn't call for what I wanted, I was like a servant. I was like a servant, like a servant. I wasn't a servant, not a servant. I was like a servant, meaning people were teaching me, helping me, and I was learning. I had to have tutors and governors guiding me, keeping me, protecting me. But once I got the keys, now I do what I want. And I do all that please the Father. And I do nothing unless he first shows it to me. But he showed me an awful lot. I've got a lot that I can be working on right now. I'm just toiling in the sun right now. That's even what Brother Branham said about that. He said, we're just ripening in the sun. I'm off the vine. I'm done growing. I'm now just sitting off the vine, ripening in the sun. That's all I'm doing right now. Oh, and I love that, you know, I love how you said that, Pastor Moore. Lean not to thy own understanding. Because so often people want to educate themselves in this thing and think that if you understand it so much and you can explain it, then somebody's going to get a revelation. And I, as a young brother in this thing, I thought, man, if I could just explain predestination to somebody. Because this person was, you know, thinking they had to work this and work that. And I was like, no, there's something called predestination.
Right.
I was like, if you're a believer, you're going to be there. And they were like, well, what about my life? What about this? I was like, that, no. That's not even in there. It's It's if you can believe the word. And they're like, well, how do you know that? And I was like, what do you mean? It's right here. It says it in Romans. It says all that he called, he did this. This. They're like, no. But what's some more about it? I'm like, what? Why do you need more? I already, that's the word of God. I don't need to add anything to that. That God just said it. That he said it. I didn't say it. He promised this. That's the end of it. That was his promise. He saw me before the foundation of the world. As a matter of fact, you can go over there and read that the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That means he knew what I was going to need before I even got here. We can go over there and read in Psalms where he says he knows my thoughts are far off. That means God can see a little further down the road than you or me. He knew my every member before I was even formed in my mother's womb. That's the kind of God I serve. He's not surprised. He's not looking at this and saying, oh my goodness, I got to get Jay to the house. No, he knew where I'd be tonight. He knew where I'd be tonight. He saw me here serving him tonight. And they go, I just can't believe that people are going to go to heaven that don't do this and do that. And there was, Pastor Moore talks about like a wall. Just, I was like, I thought if we just looked and saw it in the Bible, if we just read a scripture showing it, it would be, that's all we would need. All that did to me, it showed me that no matter how simple, how much you want to break it down. I can get scriptures and verses for everything. And that's why I even love how we do our Bible study that, you know, if something's, Brother Branham didn't talk about nothing that's not even in the Bible, then why are we even? Leave it alone. Because you're presuming at that point. But if it's in the Bible, we can look at it all day. We can talk about it. If there's multiple references on it, it's got to be a reason. It must have been important. And we can talk about it. And we rejoice in that. We don't get our feelings hurt. If I ask a question about something and it ain't in the Bible, and we skip right over it, I don't want it anyway. It might have wiggle tails in it. I don't want anything that has a possibility. I don't want anything that has somebody's idea on it. I want what God said on it. Amen. That's the only thing that I know is going to last. That's the only thing that has been proven. So that's the only thing that I know will work. It'll stand the test of time, whether my emotions go here, my memory goes here, all that can go this way and that way, but God's word has never failed me. Oh, there's been times in my life where I thought wrong this, I thought wrong that, but God was always right. God has always been right. That's why I even love Brother Danny Franklin's testimony when he said, Brother Childers, he ain't never been wrong. That's a testimony right there. Oh, that man had been with Brother Childers through thick and thin, through car deal, house deals, landlord, rent, people, parents, blah, blah, blah. He had been there the whole time, and he could look at that man with God and even say, he's never been wrong. What was he talking about? Was he talking about he wasn't wrong about the price of a burger at McDonald's? Nah. Was he wrong about how much gas is going to go in a Toyota Camry? Nah. Was he talking about if we can build this engine and put that together and make this? No. He was talking about that man has never been wrong about the Word of God. Amen. That was the only thing that mattered. That's the only thing that mattered. Oh, we can be friends on this level or that level, but the Word of God is the only thing that actually keeps us together. That's the only thing I'm looking at. I don't care. Your life may go here, may go there. Oh, you may need some grace. You may need some rebuke, but it doesn't matter. The Word of God is the only thing that I'm looking at. Amen. It's another thing I'm tying my stake to. The Word of God is the only thing that I'm looking at. Because you know what? Some people may have tough lives. They may. I've seen brothers and sisters have to go to jail, go do treatment, do this, do that. I've seen people get divorced. I've seen people on drugs. I've seen all that stuff. And you know what? There's probably a time that that person may come back in the church. Or they came back and they're still here. What could I look at then? So what should I hold over their head? Should I hold over their head that they got 19 jobs? They got 94 kids? What am I going to look at? The word, are you a believer? Yes. Do you amen the word? Do you love the word? Yes. Then have a seat. Come and dine. The master's calling. Come at this table and sit with me and eat. Because whatever you had, I probably had it too. Let's sit down and eat. I need the same grace and mercy that God gave me, I can give to you because he gave it to me freely. Oh, my. But that's progress. That's progress. That's not day one stuff. We've been in this thing for a long time. And the thing I love about it is ain't nobody in here, baby. No, nobody has an excuse. That's what you just agreed to. You just testified that you're not a baby, that you have no excuse, that you have been in this thing long enough to know right from wrong, that you know how to stand up for yourself, that you've been all around this word and this word is in you, and that you see no man in flesh, you see the word of God only. That's what that means when you're not a baby. That means you're not a child. See, you're not thinking like a child. You're looking at this thing, and that's why I love even how Pastor Moore even said it. He said, I don't even care where you came from to get back in here. It don't even matter. Sit down. Sit down and eat. Let's eat. I'd love, this is a personal thing. I'd love to see Adam and Josh and just be my brothers and preaching with them right now. My goodness. I'd love that. I'd long for those days to be able to fellowship with even the West Virginias, the Indianas, and blah, 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 all that stuff. I'd love that. That was enjoyable. We had a great time in South Carolina. That's the kind we would have if we had people closer. It'd be great. But one pony ain't going to stop the show. I got to keep kicking and paddling. I still got a job to do. People are still depending on me. I still got to be the man that I said I was going to be. I still got to hold on to the word that God's preaching to me. I still got to step out on what God's revealing to me. I'm walking on this water with me and Jesus. I got to keep my eyes on him. If everybody else goes there, I got to keep my eyes on him. I'm not looking at circumstances. I'm not looking at situations. I'm saying, Lord, you've always protected me. Lord, you've always guided me. Lord, you've always seen me through. And that same God that took care of me yesterday will take care of me today. That's how I believe this thing, saints, because God is real. I got one quote I'm going to read, and I'm going to get out of here. I love this place. I love y'all. Thank you so much for letting me minister tonight. This is Lean Not Unto Thy Own Understanding, Brother Branham. It's paragraph 165, and I love this. Kind of ties into what, like the songs that Sister Clarice sings. He didn't bring me this far to leave me. He says, well, if God loved you well enough to bring you out of sin and to fill you with the Holy Ghost, what's the matter with you poor spineless weaklings around the country? Won't he much more deliver you from your affliction when he promised he would do it? God's word also said he'll do it. Sure, he delivered them out of the hand. If he took care of you out of sin, got you filled with the Holy Ghost, you got a revelation, why do you think he won't see you through? Why are you doubting him now? He could have let you go when you didn't know who he was. He could have let you fall when you didn't know where God was. But you know who he is now. He can't be an abandoned father now. He sees you face to face now. I love this thing. I love what God is doing. I love the truth that we get here. I love the balance that we get here. Because this thing, it just runs, it ties. And the only thing on my plate is to get to that up. That's the only thing. I'll get better as a person if God allows it. I'll live tomorrow if God allows it. I'll get up tomorrow and go to work if God allows it. But the only thing that I'm calling for, the only thing that I know will happen is I'm getting the debt up. I know that he says, will he find favor on the earth when he returns? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Will there be those that are alive and remain that believe the word of God? Yes, you will. I'm fulfilling those scriptures right now. This very hour, those scriptures are fulfilled right before your very eyes. I'm that what they've been testifying. I'm that what they've been looking for. I'm the embodiment, the manifestation of all the prophecies that were in the book of Revelation. I am that group that they're talking about. When they said, well, you can read and understand. Because see, I love that he said read and understand. Because there were going to be a time where people could read it. Everybody could read it. Then, you know, before that, it was limited to be able to even have access to the Bible. So it just segregated the group a little bit. Said, when you can read, that meant they had to be available. But when you can read and understand it. Oh, that's us. That's and. You got to have those together. You got to be able to read and understand the words of this prophecy. Then the time is at hand. What time? The end time. I'm that group right there. Oh, my, my, my. We are everything they thought we would be. They're excited about seeing us. You talk about the wall of partition being down. They're looking at this group rejoicing. They're rejoicing. They're rejoicing with every service. You know what? They're not hearing, so to speak, me yelling. They're hearing the word of God. They're hearing that these believers are like an eagle cry. They're screaming out saying, get up. We've made ourselves ready. It's time to go. Oh, my, my. Now the bride is just standing on her feet. See these, all these. The bride is standing on her feet. That means she's ready to go. The music's playing. She's ready to walk out now. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do, and I praise God for you guys. God bless you.
If you're not learning nothing, something's wrong with you. Because it's not even hard. I mean, we're not sitting here saying a bunch of stuff that's hard to understand. This is so simple. And God's, Brother Branham titled, before you even went into church age, God hidden in simplicity. It's because the hour that we come in, when the word is made known to us, it's simple. And it's so simple that it's a sin to not take it.
Right.
It is. And if you don't want it, it's because it's not for you.
Right.
And we're not even trying to make people believe this. And we're not trying to hoard it over people's head and say, if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. It's none of that. We're just simply here trying to explain what we've seen because we have learned. He has taught us. And he said, in all you're getting, get understanding. Learn. And we're not like the world. They're ever learning. But they're never able to come to the knowledge. But we're come to the knowledge. The revelation. And we're still picking it up. We'll learn here. We'll learn there. But you know what? I am thankful to be able to learn. I'm thankful to be able to pick this up. I'm thankful to be able to understand. And because as you learn, you grow. Just like school. They don't start teaching calculus in the kindergarten. You get a little bit of, this is how you make an A. This is a 1. And then you get a little older. You put this number with this number, and you get this number. And you keep going as you grow. We're not sitting here still talking about the same things we talked about when we first began. Paul, the scripture says, Paul says, leave in those doctrines of water baptism and the Godhead and moving, going on into perfection. You know, you got to move. You got to grow. You got to learn. And every service you come, you should come back the next time better.
Amen.
You should. You should come back better because every time you come, you pick something up. You learn something. That's what the house of God is for. You're learning and constantly learning. And when you learn, then you come back next time and add to what you've already learned. They didn't take away in the fourth grade what I learned in the kindergarten through third grade. They kept adding. Matter of fact, the whole curriculum was to get me to where I could do calculus. Never made it there, but I was on my way. I left the calculus for Jeremiah. But they were teaching you all the way through the Bible, all the way through the school system, and their whole goal was to get you to get to this graduation. Well, our whole goal is for you to come here and learn. And as you're learning, we're trying to get you to the place where we're all going to graduate.
Amen.
And when you're in a graduation class, that's the happiest day of your whole high school or college. That's what it was all about. Everything you did. When we graduate out of here, after we've learned all that we're supposed to learn on this side. Oh, my goodness. You think there's a you think you were happy at your high school graduation or your college graduation. When we graduate out of here, oh, my goodness. That's why he's got to take us away. It's going to take 3.5 years to get us settled down enough to even go to a millennial. It's going to take 3.5 years for us to get settled down. But we have been blessed. We have been truly blessed. We are constantly learning. Don't come here. See, people have a problem because they get so far and then they think that they've learned enough and they stop coming. You know, when Brother Childers was here towards the end of his life, he was still learning. He said he'd come here, sit down, and he says, I'm just sitting here and I'm learning things. He'd ask me, he says, where'd you get that? He'd ask me on his way out of the door, I'd shake his hand. He said, where did you get that? I said, I had a good teacher. He taught me everything I knew. But it's a progressive ministry. Give us a few more years, and I'll be sitting there, and Jeremiah will be sitting here, and Jay will be bringing things that I never even thought of. And I'm thinking, my goodness, how in the world, where did you get that? Because we learn all the way till we get, we're going to learn how to get out of here. So if you're not willing to learn and you want to hold on to your old thinking, you won't get to the next level. There's a lot of people who fail and had to stay in the same class. I'm sure Sister Sue had to have some people stay back. You didn't give everybody an A. And if you don't pass the class, you got to repeat it. Sometimes y'all are going through, we are going through the things that we're going through because we never learned. And we have to repeat it until we learn it. And once we learn it, you know, you stick your head in that little hole and you get shocked. You're like, what was that? You stick it in there again. Shock. Well, I think that was a shock. Let me just check. Yeah. Sooner or later, you're going to learn. You go to that stove and it's hot and got a hot pot on it and you're going to touch it once. I like what Jay said. Jeremiah, he'll might mess up once, but not twice. He learns quick. And it's the same way with us. We learn by the things that we suffer. But we learn. If you never, somebody who just keeps touching the hot pot and they never stop touching it, something's wrong with them. Those kind of people, you do have to lock up. Put them in a denomination. Put a fence around them and hold them in because they can't help it. They're just going, yeah. You know me? I ain't going near that stove. I've learned. This body, the reason we grow, and I was thinking about us, that the reason the elders are like they are, they've learned. You young people, look to the elders because they've already been where you're heading. While you're trying to get there, they've already done it. And sometimes we hit it 2 or 3 times and burn ourselves a couple of times, but we learned. You know what? Don't do that. And we see a young person, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Yeah. You know, learn to listen to your elders. That's what your elders are for. That's what your parents are for. That's what your minister's for. To help you learn so you can avoid some of the pitfalls that we fell in. And when I'm going down the same road every day, and I know Skylar used to work at a place, and he used to always talk about this road. And it had, he knew where every pothole was in that road. He went down it so much. Now me, if I didn't know nothing about it, and Skylar's in the car with me, and I'm driving on it, you better slow down. Why don't you scoot over towards the left side of the road? Well, I'm supposed to drive on the right, this right side. No, believe me, you want to get on the left side. Why? He's been down there enough, he's learned. And the same way with us. We've been through things in life, we learn. But we will get through here. Amen. Jay, I really enjoyed it. Come on, musicians. When you learn, you get stronger. When you learn, you get bolder. When you don't hadn't learned the lesson, you're not the first one in the class to raise your hand. But when you know what it is, you've learned. Don't forget, come back on Sunday. Learn some more. Now we've got Sunday morning service and then Christmas recital at 7. So go ahead, Dwayne. Don't let me mess it up because you know I will.
It was announced already tonight. Forgive me.
No, it was. But
practice is Saturday. Dress rehearsal is at 2:30. And so that's going to be the final practice for the play. And we're excited to see the kids on Sunday night at 7. And just while I'm up here, it's been on my mind, and so forgive me for not saying it earlier, but you talked about elders. My mom posted a picture last night of Sister Patey. You know, Sister Patey has been an elder in my life. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank God for elders like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was thinking about all she's did for us. She would come and pick us up when we didn't have a car. When I was in college, she wrote me a songbook of all the church songs. She sent me tapes from here. I didn't even know I was going to be coming here. I didn't listen to them until years later. Her and my grandma would come up here to get the word. Mm-hmm. That was hard on them too, single older elder women. And right. I thank God for true leaders in my life. I thank God for elders. So I just appreciate you saying that. And Sister Patey, whether you ever hear this, I love you and thank God for you.
Amen. Every once in a while, Sister Patey will call me. She's in a nursing home. She'll call me from the nursing home. She'd say, I was just thinking about you. And I'm like, uh-oh. But she is a special lady. I appreciate her so much. Amen. So don't forget Sunday. No Sunday night service, but we'll have the Christmas thing Sunday night. And the year's winding up.
Amen.
If you haven't testified in this year yet, or even if you have, you only got a few more services, and then we'll be heading into 2023. So God bless us. Learning to lean. I'm finding more power than I've ever dreamed. Every time I learn something, I get stronger. Well, that's why we don't have weak Christians around here. You know, you go to some churches and people are just barely hanging on. You don't have to barely hang on. Just keep learning. You'll get stronger and stronger with everything you learn. You say, well, I'm not learning much. Well, just keep coming. That's how you're going to get it. I've been coming 40-something years. And I'm stronger now than I was when I first began. And I was pretty strong at 19, 20. But, oh my goodness, it's been worth it. The journey has been enjoyable. Amen. Come back. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Jesus.